program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on nature for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media and just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from my...
Hello, everybody. I'm going to play a song here real quick. It seems that forces that be, if you notice that the songs didn't play right away, and they're trying to jack with us. I'll be right back. I'm going to play this song. I'll be right back.
Yeah. Yeah. Mike P, the big homie. Summertime in the valley, homie. Yeah. Come on.
C-A-L-L-E-Y, we say G up and fly all the time, yeah. Summertime in the SFV, something for my 818 homie. C-A-L-L-E-Y, we say G up and fly all the time, yeah. Summertime in the SFV, something for my 818 homie. It's summertime in the valley, baby. It's summertime in the valley, It's summertime in the valley, baby. It's summertime in the valley. Twist the bottle open, homie, throw away the cap. Cause where we going, man, we don't need that. All we need is a 30 pack, a pack of Jimmy.
See, I told you. Fuckers. Hang on, I'll be right back. Let me finish this.
Yeah. Yeah. Mike P, the big homie. Summertime in the valley, homie. Yeah. Come on.
C-A-L-L-E-Y, we say G up and fly all the time, yeah. Summertime in the SFV, something for my 818 homie. C-A-L-L-E-Y, we say G up and fly all the time, yeah. Summertime in the SFV, something for my 818 homie. It's summertime in the valley, baby. It's summertime in the valley, It's summertime in the valley, baby. It's summertime in the valley. Twist the bottle open, homie, throw away the cap. Cause where we going, man, we don't need that. All we need is a 30 pack, a pack of Jimmy straps, pack of hood rats, and a paddock kicking at. I think I'll call Swim, see what's up with him. If I can throw some hoes in the pool again. When it comes to having fun, I'm a motherfucking addict. Once again, I'm back at it, baby mama, too dramatic. And goddamn it, it's about that time. Then drink up the vodka, beer, and wine. Not even Friday night, drunk for the 10th time. So what the fuck? I guess I'll bust another rhyme. Cause hey, all I wanna do is drink beer and screw, hang on the avenue and go home with you when the party ends. Mike P back again, representing. C-A-L-L-E-Y, we say G up and fly all the time, yeah.
Hello.
Hello. How's everybody tonight? Hi, Art.
Good. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Remember, hey.
Yes, I remembered.
No, I
it's not that I forget. I just got tied up on that one occasion. But I did get back to the show. Okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, I saw that thing you said about being priceless.
What?
I saw a video, something about priceless, but I can't find it. I was going to use that.
Right.
It had something to do with these assholes fucking with us. But, you know, it's like they came out with a new video today of that Kelly Thomas that was beaten to death by the Fullerton police.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Pretty fucking hard to watch.
Yeah, it is. But unfortunately, you know, that's life as we know it. You know, there's so many things that take place. What do you do? You know, watching a video just makes it harder. than if you would have just read about it in a newspaper or saw a quick clip of it on the news.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's like they're, you know, and then they're trying to cover those guys, which is bullshit.
Right. Okay.
Mm.
Oh, I wanted to thank you for those pictures. Those were amazing.
Which one?
That you sent me with the ship. I've never seen anything like that.
No?
No,
yeah, they
never.
Had like a half, they had like a half hour worth of fireworks, too.
Wow. Must be nice.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody up north because, you know, they had a party somewhere. And,
right.
I sent them pictures of that. As well as the comments I got back, and no fucking way, they named that ship that name, all kinds of crazy shit.
Right.
And then, it's like I sent you as I was sending them out, you know, they sent them back, round one.
Right.
You know, round two, and I'm like, man, I don't want to hear nothing. I want to watch it on TV next week. You know, that lasted all
right.
Like 10 minutes. And they sent it and told me who won and all that shit. So, but one of the things I want to talk about today. I've got some shocking information here.
I always have shocking information, just nobody's, you know, capable of doing what I do every day. Sorry.
Well, no, this one is about the Oceanside, California Police Department and their health issues.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
let me
go into this. But the Oceanside will open your eyes to the health problems of what seems to be an entire police force. You know, in my opinion, there is nothing wrong with putting on a little extra weight. But driving around in Oceanside, California the other day, I was shocked at how many overweight police officers I saw. We've all seen the movies where they make fun of cops being frumpy and heavy and a whole lot of not too bright. And we've all heard the donating references a million times, but it would seem that sometimes stereotypes are born of truth. Driving downtown on my way to the beach, which I was going down to see over by Junior's house, I happened to pass two police officers went into a couple of blocks of each other. Both were overweight. Although I didn't think anything at the time, not until I stopped at a local coffee shop just before I made the left turn in the morning, and did the health problem of Oceanside Police Department become glaringly apparent. There were several police officers in the shop. Don't ask me why so many were in uniform, not working at the exact same time, and absolutely all of them were in possession of a few more pounds than is normally healthy. One of them I would refer to as grotesquely overweight. You know, normally I don't care about, I mean, you can be fat, skinny, whatever makes your boat float, okay? But we're talking about people that are supposed to be protecting the public. So I have some pause. I have some pause for a serious thought. If any of my friends or anybody that just happened to be robbed or worse yet, sexually assaulted.
Right.
I realize that if anybody screamed for help, one of these guys was nearby and able to respond, there's no hope in hell that they would be able to run fast enough to catch the perpetrator, unless the officer is not lounging around in a coffee shop and is lucky enough to be in a vehicle, all in likelihood the suspect is going to get away. But that's it's not acceptable. So I have to ask the obvious, what the hell is up here? Are there no physical standards to speak of? Are there standards that nobody on the force is taking them seriously? Are there no repercussions for those who don't meet the standards? The military has physical standards, which most of these guys were in the Navy or the Marine Corps. And the military has physical standards, so what's going on? Some laugh at the cops in general for being out of shape, but the fact of the matter is, it's not a laughing matter. When, for some unforeseen reason, you have to depend on their services and protection. If they aren't willing to take care of themselves, then how are they going to take care of you?
Very true.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that such is the case, and I even have cause to write about this issue, but it is what it is, and that's very sad.
I agree.
You know? But this,
I agree.
Like,
and, you know, I mean, a lot of people don't realize that, you know, I'm a very heavy person, I just, you know, put on my skinny suit. Anyway, sorry, I just wanted to throw a joke in. No, like I said, it doesn't matter how people appear. You know, it doesn't matter if they're short, they're tall, medium, height, you know, skinny, heavy. You know, it's the person themselves. You know, that's why I've always looked at throughout my life. I've never judged anybody because of how they appear. But unfortunately, with crimes, it doesn't give a color, it doesn't give a size, it doesn't give an age, it doesn't, a lot of times it just doesn't make sense at all.
But, you know, and this article that I posted, even the local news in San Diego, they picked up on it, and they asked to interview me and a few other people about observations and subsequent anonymous threats.
Right.
You know, I've received some threats, and
I have too throughout the years. You know, and I sit there like, well, okay, I'm just gonna say it outright because you know sometimes I just don't, but this time I will. You know, people balls out. You know, behind the screen, behind the phone, behind something. You know, they've got their balls and everybody else. But when it comes face-to-face, not saying that it doesn't happen face-to-face, it does. But if you've noticed, more of them are more confrontational behind something than what they are face-to-face.
Yeah.
You know, I've confronted people face-to-face, and they look at me, because I'm only 5'2", you know. So when it's not like I can get up in their face, you know, but when I say something, they look at me like, yeah, okay. And it's like, what part of this didn't you understand? You know?
Yeah.
And like I said, then there's people, damn, you got bigger balls than I do. I say, yes, I do. And I wear them on my chest. You know, but like I said, unfortunately, there's a lot of people that just are not ballsy, you know, and there's ones that are. There are ones that have no problem with, you know, stating, I don't threaten people or anything like that, but it's happened to me, you know, and
yeah.
It's like, why? What is the purpose here? What is this whole purpose? Nobody has ever seen me in a vile manner to, you know, when I get said things the way that I do, you know, and majority of the time I don't even respond to it because they feed off it, you know, so I just sit there and ignore it and walk away from it. But there are some instances where, you know, you have, if somebody's going to sit there and outright call you a liar or something like that, well, of course you're going to do whatever it takes to defend yourself as a human being, knowing that, no, you didn't set out to do this intentionally, or you weren't out there to hurt anybody, anything like that. You know, it was a misunderstanding with a statement of words. And it's not anything to do cursing or anything like that. It's just a point of, it was a misunderstanding of not worded right statements. That's all it takes. If, you know, you were to sit there and say, well, you know, I spoke to you. Okay, well, when did you speak to me? You know, and I would understand it wasn't by phone or anything like that. It was just, you know, we spoke or we didn't get a chance to speak, whatever the case may be. But, you know, unfortunately, there's too many people out there that just want to bully. They want to bully. They think they're big and bad and want to put people in their place. And that's not how it should be, you know. You take care of your own business and stay out of everybody else's. That's how I look at it. There's no reason for you to be in everybody's business.
No. And, you know, it's like, if you guys remember a couple of weeks ago when we had all them ding-dongs jump in here.
Oh, my God, that was just crazy.
Yeah, and I was going, I got a lot of IP addresses and stuff. But,
well,
you
know, the funny thing is, because people were saying they're telling me I needed to lose weight, obviously, they don't realize I'm 5'2 at 129 pounds. So if I lose any more weight, I'm going to just float away.
But, you know, it's like a couple of threats I got, and I think it's funny because, you know, I was told, well, if I find you, well, I'm not hiding.
Right.
You know?
You know, I've had as far as, like, and I mean, this is being honest. I had where somebody actually held a loaded gun, you know, and had it to my head. Now what are you going to do? I said, what? You know, what do you think you're going to do to me? And walked away from it. You know, okay, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Obviously, they weren't ballsy enough to pull the trigger.
No.
No.
Well, you
but
know,
unfortunately,
like,
it happens.
Yeah, and people ask me about this because, you know, I wasn't the only person that wrote this kind of an article. There was another guy named Steve that did the same thing.
Right.
And he like me, said he didn't expect to make the police officers in Oceanside angry when he pointed out the observations that so many officers are overweight. It's just, you know, the fear for people's safety if crimes are being committed and the criminals are able to outrun the police.
Well, you know, the thing is, you know, okay, you grew up here, so you know there are men and women, you know, that are, but not to their standards. But if they had to run, you know, and I'm not being mean or anything like that, and I'm not putting anybody down. But unfortunately, if somebody is trying to get, say, a punk that was doing something at the corner, you know, and you have somebody that is remotely somewhat overweight, they're going to have a harder time. Their body pumps a lot harder than what it does if somebody being physically better in shape, if that makes sense. You know,
yeah.
But like I said, it's not that, you know, I'm not making fun of anybody by any means. You know, unfortunately, people can have thyroid problems, whatever the case may be. There's different issues, not just because they woke up one day and, well, this is what I'm going to be. But like I said, unfortunately, it does pose a problem, you know, when it comes to a chase. A footed chase, you know, and that's normally when backup has to come into play because, you know, they get winded too quick, you know, and they have to be able to catch the person. They can't just sit there and go only so far and say, okay, I had to give up because I couldn't catch the perp, you know.
Yeah, it's not like I'm talking about one or two guys out of 10, you know. I'm saying,
right,
like,
but that's what I'm saying, and I'm not making fun of anybody by any means, and I'm not putting anybody down, because, you know, it's very hard to get into a department here. I don't know what it is in other states, but as long as you pass their qualifications, their tests, and everything else, well, guess what? You're in, you know, and if you have the right background, you're in, but if you don't, then guess what? You know, you're not there. So like I said, unfortunately, you know, that's what takes place with a lot of the cases. You know, when it's hard for one person, you know, to catch a perp, you know, they always have to have backup.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's routine to begin with, you know.
Yeah.
But like I said, it's not a question of what they eat or what they don't eat. Sometimes it's just a health issue.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, you know, it's just, where do we go? What do we do? You know, because there, you know, I know there's a lot of things that I didn't want to do and there's a lot of things I should have did. And basically when somebody threatens me like that and you send me a fucking email,
right?
You know, and you, because you sent it to copy all or whatever, I'm not going to find
right.
out who you are. I can find out.
Well, you know, that's what I said. People, you know, they think they have big balls behind the screen, behind the phone. You know, I mean, but what they don't understand is everything is watched. Everything is monitored, you know. In fact, you can sit there in a day. If you just took a couple hours a day, and just watched things, you know, and you could see, like, wait, I can't believe that person just said that. You know, where you're saying it to yourself, it's not like you're making phone calls. Oh, my God, did you see this? You know, but unfortunately, people think that nobody's paying attention. I've seen people sit there and actually post, you know, well, the next time I see this person, so-and-so, or not even playing a name, but you know who I'm talking about, and then the next thing you know, they're getting in trouble. Well, hello, wake up. People are watching. They're paying attention, you know, and that's why, you know, I don't understand how, you know, people get away with what they do or what they think they can do, you know, and then even though that you can tell them 10 times, you know, watch what you say. Be careful what you say. Be careful how you word things, because actions, your words are actions. And it's not like, you know, you can sit there and jump online and talk to somebody, and then all of a sudden, within 10 minutes into a conversation, you're angry with somebody, and all you have to do is word something the wrong way. Poof, here it comes. Here it comes. Yeah. You know, and, well, I didn't mean to say that. Well, too late. You've already been confronted by people that are watching that you didn't want to pay attention to in the first place by being told. Hello?
Hold on. Hello, Ryan.
What's happening?
Hello, Ryan.
Hi, Ryan.
How's it going? How's it going?
Good. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Gorgeous out
good.
Today.
Good. Now, when are you
going
to come to Chicago?
Something.
You need to do
What's
a photo shoot. You need to do
Absolutely.
A photo shoot here. When are you coming to Chicago?
Hell, I don't know. I was thinking about coming out there for that GN summit, but I don't know. The way you guys' crime rate is, I think I'm going to have to steer clear.
Oh, my God. You know, get over yourself.
No, I'd love to go to Chicago. Absolutely.
Well,
you know,
whenever you do, let me know. Because
I
know people with bikes, and they have no problem. You just did a photograph. I'm not camera shy.
There we go. Sounds like a blast.
Exactly.
I'd love to do that.
Yep.
Yeah, actually, she's trying to get you there because she wants to volunteer.
Yes.
There we go. No, absolutely.
And nobody believes my age anyways. If I told you my age, you wouldn't believe me. So it works out
I don't think I have. I've never believed a woman when they tell me their age. It has nothing to do with you. It's
well,
just
no.
You all lie about.
But what I mean is, I'm not shy. I say it. I don't hide behind different numbers. I just, somebody wants to know, oh, yeah, this is how old I am. Really? Are
there
you
we
sure?
Go.
Oh, duh. Yeah.
that's a rare quality to be that comfortable with yourself, to just let it all basically in figure speech hang out. You know, a lot
exactly.
of models have to hide behind stuff. So, you know, that's very admirable.
Right. I have nothing to hide.
So, there we go.
Mm-hmm.
So what else has happened on around the world here?
Not
much. Getting on here?
Huh?
Did I miss anything just getting on here?
No, sorry. Yeah,
the
story I told you I was going to do about the cops, and then I guess they're going to call about Alabama, and we got somebody wants to call about the East Coast. So
cool.
We're just waiting. Yeah, we're just waiting, but, you know, it's
right
since we went on the air, they started to play games again.
You know, tends to happen. It's unfortunate, but, you know, what do? It makes them feel more powerful, than more power to them.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's how I look at it. They always have bigger balls behind something than what they do face-to-face the majority of the time.
Right. Yep, I don't get it, but. And you know about the obesity with the cops thing, you know, the way I look at it is when you initially sign on to any job, there's qualifications. If at any point you can't uphold your qualifications or the quality of standards that's expected in that position, then you need to either be moved to another position or that space needs to be opened up to someone else who's capable of completing that task.
Right.
In those situations, you know, shouldn't there be, and when you're you know, doing that type of a job for the public safety, wouldn't there be a yearly physical, you know, something along those lines to make sure that for their own safety, they can complete those tasks, and for the people that they're protecting and serving, that they can also complete those tasks?
Well,
I realize
yeah,
that there's health issues and things like that, but, you know, depending on the line of work they're in, you need to be able to complete that task.
Well, I know for a fact that in my job, once a year I have to go and take a physical.
Right.
Well, everybody needs a physical once a year.
I go to the doctor regularly. But
no, I know, but I mean you have to because of the military.
Yeah. Well, let's see who this is. Hello, 605.
Hey there, how's it going?
Oh, is this the stranger?
What are you doing?
The one
well,
that's been ignoring
you
for...
What?
Yeah,
I thought you
weren't
going
to talk to me
what?
Anymore because I sent you a baby picture.
Oh, whatever. Not at all.
I know, I'm just giving you a hard time.
But
what's going on? Besides the fact that you're the baby of the week, you're the returning champ for the last 2 weeks.
Oh, hey, thanks. I haven't been near a computer in about that long, so I have no idea what's going on in the internet world. But that's
you
awesome.
You know, I have people sending me emails. They want to see more.
They just more photos in general because they're not seeing more than what's on there.
I that's what I said.
Look, I'm like a Playboy. That's what it's for.
Well, you know, I heard today they offered Playboy offered Sarah Palin $4 million to pose.
There you go.
I wouldn't buy the magazine to see her.
No, she's. Don't get me wrong. I think she's hot, but she's not Well, of course, they make anybody Playboy material with their airbrushing. But $4 million, no.
And Nora,
yeah.
By the way, this is Tasha on the phone.
Hi, Tasha. How are you?
Oh, hey, how's it going?
I'm the fill-in on Tuesdays.
Oh, are you? Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
because
his partner is always busy on Tuesdays, so he doesn't come back until on Thursdays. But, they, you know, here I figure, okay, the men can have the show back. And no, you need to be with us because everybody wants you here. I'm like, oh, okay.
Hey, I just got a, just so you guys, let me interrupt you there for a minute because I just got an instant message here where, as most of you guys know, Sonny Barge is going to be making a movie and there's a few other people involved, but he needs some used leather and denim cuts. So if anybody has anything, I'll put this up in the chat room and you can send it to them. Or you can get in contact with them, and they'll tell you how to send it in.
Right.
But,
what kind of leather? Like dress leather, leather jackets, you know.
Yeah, that and used cuts and anything else that you got laying around.
But that doesn't specify. Are they looking for leather jackets, writing? Are they looking for
leathers? Used leather and denim cuts. I'll have to check into it. I was just letting you guys know that I got the instant message, and I put it up in the chat room.
Let me know. Okay.
I will.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. You know, and then I got another email today to Art sent me this, and see if you guys see. I don't know about this one, but where this world's going now, I don't know.
Right.
But, in Maryland, the Supreme Court ruled, actually the Maryland Court of Special Appeals, they ruled double parking is not a crime. It seems the Maryland court rules against parking-ticking frisking. What happened was this guy, police were wrong to monitor or to frisk a motorist over a parking infraction. Maryland's second highest court ruled last month on April 25th, a three-judge panel considered the case of Bruce Wayne Gilmore, who had backed into a parking spot at the 51 Club liquor store in Temple Hills. And this was back in February of 2008. His corporal named Derek Newmar of the Prince George's County Police Department He was watching Lot on the lookout for to make a drug bust. Noticing Gilmore's car was parked slightly over the line, he pounced on Gilmore as he returned from the store. "Why did you park like that?" The man said, "I didn't realize I parked that way." He asked for his license and registration so he could run a records check. As he did so, he claimed that Gilmore appeared to be nervous, placing both hands in his pockets. He declared that for officer safety, he would have to conduct a pat-down search. He found a pocket knife, a bag of marijuana, and a jacket pocket. Another pocket contained crack cocaine. He actually wrote a parking ticket for the alleged offense. At trial, Gilmore's attorney pointed out that his client had in fact not broken no motoring law. There is no ordinance or citation in the parking citation section of the law on what is a parking violation that indicates that parking in more than one spot is a violation of any parking ordinance, the attorney argued. In fact, Maryland Code 21-1003 delineates every single parking type of violation from stop and standing parking that is prohibited. No place where inside the regulations is parking more than one spot enumerated. The trial judge ruled that he believed the officer had reasonable suspicion and upheld the search and seizure. Gilmore challenged the decision, and the Maryland Court of Special Appeals agreed the prosecution had no case. The state cannot point to a provision of law that clearly prohibits the manner in which appellant operated and parked his vehicle. Judge Timothy Meredith wrote for a three-page panel, Corporal Newmar used the phrase double parking to describe the parking violation as he witnessed, but was unable to identify the provision in the code that prohibits occupying two spaces. Nor was the prosecutor who represented the state at the suppression hearing able to cite a provision that prohibits occupying two spaces. Maryland does not apply all vehicle code restrictions to private parking lots that are open for general use to public, but the appellate court found no crime had been committed. The judges next turned to the question of whether the police officer was justified in detaining Gilmore in the parking lot. Excuse me. A review of the cases from the other jurisdictions persuades us that a mistake of law, unlike a mistake of fact, cannot support a detention for a purported traffic violation, Meredith ruled. In the present case, the officer detained the appellant in the parking lot did so under the mistaken belief that there was a statutory provision which made it legal to park one's vehicle straddling a line in the pavement. That was the mistake of law. Because of a lawful detention cannot be predicted upon a mistake of law, the evidence obtained during the ensuing encounter should have been suppressed. The judges reversed Gilmore's conviction and ordered the county to pay all the court costs. A copy of the decision, I can send anybody who sends me an email, I'll send you the copy of the decision. But I can also put the source up in the chat room for you guys.
Okay.
And I got a message that it's used jackets and vets, Nora.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Dar Art.
But still, that doesn't answer. I'm sorry. What kind of jackets? Riding or casual or both?
Whatever
well,
you got laying around.
Considering the type of movie, I would say more so along the lines of riding, but I don't know if they would really kick anything away.
Right.
No,
but see, now some of them may not be riding in the movie, and, you know, like how in the mob movies, how they have the longer casual leathers, you know, dressy kind. That's why I'm asking if they could use ones like that, you know. Is Art the one that's laying, you know?
Oh. Yeah, he's one of them. So, Kasha, what have you been up to? How are you feeling? Everything all right?
Yeah, doing good. Ryan's keeping me busy.
That's good.
You know, we just had that shoot for East Coast Biker, which was cool. So that's out right now. And you go to eastcoastbiker.net, Ryan?
Yes.
It's not .com. Okay. Yeah, eastcoastbiker.net. And, of course, I'm Miss May. And, yeah, just got a couple of shoots coming on. There's something in the works that, of course, I can't talk about, but I'm excited. So hopefully when it comes through, I'll be able to babble about it. And
good for
then,
you.
Say what?
No, I was just saying good for you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, thanks. And, yeah, just working behind the scenes at some fashion shows. Ryan's been the photographer at several of them. So instead of being in them, I'm just kind of working behind the scenes with them. So that's been a blast. So, yeah, well, I'm good.
That's good. Let me, we got some... I guess we have Nancy, and there's a guy named Josh going to call. Let's see who this is first, and then let me get these out of the way, and then we can have some fun.
Cool.
334.
That is me.
Who is me?
Nancy, how are you doing, sweetie?
I am great,
how you doing, Nancy?
Thank you. I'm great. How are y'all?
Not bad.
Good.
Can you say a little more? Because when I hear that accent, I get excited.
I'm not the one that has the accent. Y'all are the ones that have the accent.
Oh, okay.
Hey, God.
So, the reason for your call is you're going to have an event in, is it Alabama, I understand?
Yes, sir. It's called the second annual In the Wind Bikers Helping Rebuild Alabama.
Okay.
And we started it last year, and a lot of the guys and girls are on the line, or they're watching the blog and joining in tonight. And we wanted to get the word out, and we hear you're the way to go to help us. We are doing this as a fundraiser. I'm putting it, I don't know if I'm doing this right, but I'm putting a little link here on the blog. We started this last year in April, which actually was the week of April 27th in 2011. We had a pack of storms come through.
And yes, you did it right.
Oh, yay. Okay, well, you can hold on to that for just a minute, okay? Brian gave me a quick 101 on using the computer today. But anyway, back in April of last year, we had a streak of tornadoes come through. And it wasn't straight in all of it in Alabama, but the actual tornado line had 70 tracks in it. It covered 1,177 miles from start to finish.
Wow.
In that line, we had 62 actual tornadoes. Most of them were graded an F5. It was 20 miles wide. And between that 1 week of April 15th through up to April 28th, we actually had 255 fatalities. It was unreal. We had 23,553 homes destroyed or damaged. It was a catastrophe. And what stirred us to get this event started is our group of men, as soon as we heard about it, we gathered at our local huddle house on a Saturday morning. And we were
Your
trying to
what?
Find a place. Huddle house? It's kind of, do y'all have a huddle house out there?
Okay, okay.
No.
I thought you said something different. That's okay. I didn't mean to interrupt.
I don't want to ask you what you thought we said. Yeah, there you go. That's a different kind of gathering. But we got up there that morning as a group, and within, I guess, an hour to an hour and a half, we collected right at $500. The men loaded up. They took the $500. They were giving a list of all these places that needed help. They were still doing search rescue at the time. And our men loaded, went to the store, Walmart's, bought all the supplies they could, loaded up the truck full, and headed down to Tuscaloosa. And just for those who may not be familiar with Tuscaloosa, Alabama, is the home of the Alabama football team, very well known here. And they went down, and the supplies were taken immediately. But the men also turned around and offered their labor. Anything that they could do, if they needed to go and help search for people, did they need to help unload trucks, and they were turned down. As a matter of fact, they were turned down at three different places, including a church, during this time. And we got pissed off. The majority of us felt that it was because of the biker image that when people look at you and you're wearing leathers, which I don't think, you know, that they didn't ride their bikes, of course, but... Anyway, to make a long story short, we got mad enough. We said, well, we're going to find another way to help. And that's how In the Wind began. And in three short months, we busted it wide open.
That's good.
We,
and basically, my website gets about, well, today we had 74,222 hits.
Wow.
Just for today. So whatever flyers you got, whatever links you got to PayPal or whatever, and if you've got a disclaimer for the 501 status,
yes,
put that in there also, and you should get some. You should get some donations.
Absolutely. We, Ryan, is since the last time I talked to you about an hour and a half ago, Robert Bunn, who's on here watching, he's my son. He actually got our PayPal link set and everything, so we're good to go now. And but that little link I just sent, Bill, we had so many volunteers help us helping. We chose the Salvation Army, and Mark King, who is with the Salvation Army, he is supposed to be calling in here shortly. He wanted to say hello if he could. You've got Kelly Thornton, which is called Lowride. He's got a 205 number. He's supposed to be on hold.
I think we got him right now. Hold on a second. Let me okay. do one thing. Hello, Stacy.
Hi, Dolan. How are you?
Good. How are you? I don't mean to be rude, but let me do this. I'm going to keep you on. I'm going to unmute you. But let me do this, and then I'll come back to you, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Hello, 205.
Yeah, this is him.
How you doing, man?
Pop, pretty good. How you doing?
Not bad. 75 and sunny, and it's off the ocean. But other than that, life's good.
That's good to hear. We had about the same here today. Just didn't have the ocean.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, it was a nice ride home, too. But, let me explain this to you. Go to work at 30 in the morning. There's not a car on the freeway. Sometimes I shoot down to the coast. I just watch the waves while I'm riding to work. The other day I went right by work and I got to the, I realized when it said you are now leaving the United States, I had to turn around to go to work.
Oh, jeez. That's a good little ride, then.
Exactly. Well, I'm only less than 60 miles from the border, but yeah, it was a good ride. But not enough of my day. As you guys were talking about these tornadoes and stuff, and what is your part in all this?
Well, I was one of the main guys that helped start it up.
Uh-huh.
It's like Nancy said, we try to do our part. As a biker organization, I guess you'd say, and every time we went and tried to give our help or anything like that, we were turned away. And you know, it's like Nancy said, that's how we started all this. But to be able to be here to the end and to be able to help the people that we saw and that we talked to, and to help them out, for us to join up with the Salvation Army, not knowing exactly what they actually part of theirs that they did here in the state of Alabama. Now that we're teamed up with them, knowing that everything that we do right here in the state of Alabama stays here in the state of Alabama and helps out exactly what happened through this area, which makes everybody that participates in this thing makes their efforts seem like they're going to the right place. I apologize. I'm about ready to lose my voice.
Oh, no worries. I'm about ready to lose mine too. I'm doing my medical thing while I'm talking to you guys. So if it kind of like I sound like I'm mellow, it is because I am.
All right. But being able to join up with the Salvation Army and to be able to help these people out has gave us such a gratitude as a group of riders ourselves that
let me ask you this. Nancy was talking about when they saw the way you guys were dressed and they refused your help.
We went,
the Salvation Army embraced you guys, right?
Oh yeah, with open arms, and they backed us 100%. And that's the reason why we chose the Salvation Army. We went to Tuscaloosa three times and were turned away. We went to two different churches over there, They told us that they had enough people to help. The last time we went, they turned us away because we weren't residents of that area, even though we were willing to give our time, our help, and everything else. But what the good thing about it was is when we put In the Wind on, we showed them what a bunch of bikers could do in one weekend by raising over $10,000 for this cause. And it went directly to the Salvation Army, which they helped out the people that were on the outskirts of Tuscaloosa that still to this day, are parts of areas that still have not been touched from the tornadoes. And being able to help the Salvation Army, hey, that just puts a feather in our cap. We've got a good guys on our side. Hopefully, Captain Bailey will call in and we'll be able to validate everything we do. Like I said, it's a good bunch of guys. All we're doing is trying to raise some money for a good cause and try to get the word out. I don't know if you've ever... we hit more brick walls last year because we were a biker group instead of a charity group, just, you know, from any church or anything like that or any other organization. But us rolling up on motorcycles in leather just kind of painted a bad picture on everybody. We had more skepticism on what we were doing it for and what the money was actually going for. But after last year, everybody now knows what we stand for, what we believe in, and everything that we talk about is what we do. And
right.
We are here to help, just to help the people that can't help themselves right now. You don't see it on the news anymore, but the devastation and people's lives being affected is still today.
That's
pretty much everywhere.
It's like in Japan now, they all that stuff with the tsunamis, they just had a bunch of walking around.
Nope.
Hey, Bill. Hello.
I think we lost.
Hey, Bill.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I can still hear everybody. It sounds like somebody's outside or something.
Is anybody here?
Well,
did we lose?
Let me see what this one is. Hello, 205.
Hi, this is Sergeant Major Mark King.
How you doing,
Salvation
Sergeant
Army.
Major?
How are you?
How you doing? We have Nancy on the line. We lost the other caller, but...
Hi, Nancy. How's it going?
Hey, Mark. It's great. Good to have you call in. Thank you.
No, thank you guys for the opportunity. First of all, Nancy has been a huge blessing in the efforts to raise money to help those in need in our community and in our surrounding communities. And we just want to say thanks for all her hard work, and she's such a great lady.
Oh, thanks.
And if Nancy can give you the links to my stuff, and you can send me, if you guys have any flyers or anything, we're going worldwide, 38 countries,
mm-hmm.
United States, Canada, all over. So anything you guys would like to post to get some help out there, just send me, Nancy can give you my links, and you can send me whatever you want, and I'll post it for you guys.
All right, thanks. That's awesome.
That is awesome. Hey, Mark, could you share real quick kind of what the money did and why we are redoing the event this year and what else needs to be done?
Yeah, absolutely. No problem at all. The money that they helped raise went 100% went right into the community that was hit, and that was Alabama. It was Tuscaloosa, Birmingham area. There's so many areas to cover. So many homes, so many lives, so many things destroyed in just an instant. And when they heard it, they came, they called, they said, what can we do to help our neighbors? What can we do? And they came up with a bike ride and a weekend event that was not just a blessing, but fun entertainment. And it was something for families to come and say, listen, after all this stuff that's going on in our life right now, we have a chance to just take it easy. And that's what they did. The money went right into the, like I said, the community, They built we built homes for people that couldn't afford it or didn't have insurance at no cost to them. We had the keys to them, and we're still doing that right now. That's one of the biggest effects that we're doing right now is rebuilding homes that, listen, people are now homeless and have no place to go, and we're providing them shelter. We're providing them social service work. And we couldn't do it without people like Nancy and the biker group.
Yeah, and a lot of times, you know, the biker community is perceived as criminals and all kind of drug addicts and everything, but people they're afraid to talk. You know, it's like people walking into the VA. They put their head down instead of looking a guy in the eye and saying hello.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, not everybody's bad and not everybody's good. But one thing that we have to realize is when someone reaches a hand out to help their neighbors, to help each other out, that's what Jesus says to do, is to help those and compel the love of Christ. And I really believe that if you judge someone, you should be prepared to have some pretty big shoes on, because it's not right. And second of all, listen, we're a family, we're a community. Most importantly, we're America. And we stand not just for our freedom, but we stand for those who are in need.
Yeah, I mean,
absolutely.
I was in the Marine Corps, and I was on some humanitarian, excursions. And sometimes when we got there, we were perceived as assholes and the enemy, until people realized that we were there to help. We weren't there to shoot anybody or police anybody. We were there to help.
Well, yeah, it's unfortunate that Hollywood and books and people's imagination, goes wild. And the fact is unless you know somebody, you really don't know their story. You really don't know where they're coming from or what they've been through or what they're willing to do. And, as a Salvation Army, when they came to us, we said, absolutely, guys, we welcome you. But we're your army. We're here to help those in need. We're here to help those who just can't seem to find the hope or the grace that God is willing to show them and give them. And listen, we couldn't do it without people like the bikers and so many other people. And it's so important that we understand that as long as we can reach out a hand of hope, we can see God in the middle.
Yeah. Well, not too long ago, about, I'd say a month and a half, maybe 2 months ago, there was a little kid, and he wanted just 100 bikers to come by his house. You know, the guy was going to arrange a drive-by for him. And it ended up to almost 5,000 people.
Man, praise God.
Oh, my God.
And then
awesome.
Yeah, once the cops figured, by the time they got to this kid's house, they were still getting off the freeway. They caused the traffic. But then the cops got involved and made sure everything was okay. But they made this little kid's day.
That was one of our biggest problems. We had a fantastic route picked out for our first event, and it was being able to take the people right by the disaster so then they could see and get the heart feel. If you don't feel something in your heart, you're not as prone to give. And we fought. If you're looking at the list, you've got the Shaved Head. He was one of our road captains. Robert Bunn, he's now heading up the group in the Wind Association. You've got Tammy Smith. We called her Zip It because she needs to zip it sometimes, but she is an awesome woman. And when we pulled together, but within 2 weeks before our ride, the Tuscaloosa Police Department kicked us in the ass. They stopped us. They wouldn't let us be escorted. We jumped around. We backed up. We got the state troopers involved. Once we advertised that, guess what? The state troopers had to pull out, and it was the bottom line. It was the whole atmosphere of the bikers.
It's like anything else. Politics will screw up the whole thing.
Yeah, but you know what? We pulled together. We were determined, come hell or high water, this was going to happen. We turned around and... just like this year, we need vendors who want to come out and put out their stuff to get people. We are expecting roughly, from everything I was told last year, because I was a zombie, but I think we had like 350 bikes show up. This year, the city of Montevallo approached us. They wanted us to bring our event to their city park.
We're expecting somewhere between 500 and 800 bikes this year. Sponsorship is very hard right now, even $100, only because, you know, people don't see disasters right now. You know, when it's not in front of you, you kind of think life has gone back.
If you let me say just real quick, like Miss Nancy, and you know, and that's something that we face. Times are hard. Times are really hard right now. And unfortunately, when a disaster doesn't happen and people don't see it, sometimes they tend to forget about those who are really in need. You know, and Nancy, you know, they're reaching out and they're saying, listen, help us help others. Help us show the love of God. Help us show the love of community and commitment and to one and to human being a human, you know. And one of the things that I absolutely have to say is if you're listening right now, seriously stop and think, what would happen if tonight your house was gone, your loved ones were gone, there's nothing left but you? You had all the help you could get after that for 1 month, for 2 months, then after that, everything was gone. But you're still left with just a foundation. No house, no family, no job. Imagine that person. Now imagine them when they see the bikers come and they say, listen, brother, we know what it is. We know how it feels. We want to help you. That's what Nancy and that's what they're doing. So I just want to compel anybody that's listening to come out, enjoy the evening, enjoy the day, and help. Give this 100%, guys. The Salvation Army doesn't play around. 100% goes right back into those disasters and those who need it.
Now, let's say, in what ways can somebody send if they're in a different state? Let's say I got burned in the past on a charity event, and, you know, I've heard that Nancy talking. I hear that, you know, she has a PayPal account, but I'm still kind of skeptical, and I want to make sure that the money goes directly to the Salvation Army. Now,
absolutely.
Do you guys have a link that's set up for In the Wind Ride where people can get you there, as well as people can contact Nancy and people from other countries can go straight to the PayPal?
Yep, absolutely.
So,
you can always go to www.birminghamsalvationarmy.org. That's www.birminghamsalvationarmy.org. And when you type in for a donation, just type in Shelby County in subline or the memo in the wind. And all that money will go right to it. And then one of the nice things is that we are one of the 501c3s. So, guys, if you need a tax relief, guess what? We can do that for you. And
what I was saying. If you guys send me your flyers, send me all your information, send me your shout out to get some vendors,
send me all
that stuff, put it on my blog for you. And like I said, if you send me all that stuff with links that they can get to everybody, I'll put it up for you, and I'll run it every couple of days, and I offer you guys until the run starts.
We appreciate it. We appreciate your partnership, and we also appreciate Nancy and everything that she's done for us. And listen, man, we couldn't do it without troopers like you, without people that had have hearts for others, and we thank you for it.
Well,
Mark, thank
that.
You. As a group, overall, it takes a lot more than one person. If you look and you listen, it's contagious. You get the passion, you get the reasoning, and just like you, Bill, you're allowing us this, but you're also opening the doors, and that's what we need, you know. Gosh, it was very, very heartwarming. Ryan has done everything he can, and that's all we're asking is to help us get the word out, you know, because we're in a small town. The city of Montevallo has a total population of 6,488 people. You know, and I'm only 5'2", but I have got a big mouth, but I don't have it big enough to reach all over the place to get these people aware of what we're doing and why.
All right. Well, let me enlighten you just 1 minute here. Right now, in the United States, Australia, Canada, Russia, Portugal, Brazil, China, where we have two guys listening right now. If they get caught, they're going to jail or death. Bangladesh, the United Kingdom, Mexico. Germany, France, the Netherlands, New Zealand, Thailand, Brazil, Japan, we're all over the place tonight. And that's usually every Tuesday and Thursday. Brazil, I don't know if I said that one already. But yeah, we're all over the place tonight.
So then Nancy,
that's where we want to be.
You know, just to give you a quick about the Salvation Army, we're all over the world. The sunset never falls on the Salvation Army flag. The doors are always open around the world for those in need. And we can't do it without people that have a heart to give and a heart to want to help.
Now, are people able to go to their local Salvation Army and allocate these funds and have them connect with you also?
They could. They
Let's
could.
Say somebody's riding down the street, and they see a Salvation Army and think, son of a bitch, remember that ride. They can pull in there and that money will get to you.
Well, yeah, they would want to make sure they allocate it the appropriate way to Birmingham Area Command, and they would want to put in the wind in the memo, or they could just send it, to 108 Plaza Circle, Suite E, Alabaster, Alabama, 35007. 108 Plaza Circle, Suite E, Alabaster, Alabama, 35007. And all donations go right back into the community. You can check us out on the web at www.birminghamsalvationarmy.org. And wherever you go to a Salvation Army, if you want it allocated to a certain thing or a certain place, that's where it'll go.
Okay.
And we'll have it posted. Yes, sir. We have on Facebook, if you will go under events, you can find a event, second annual In the Wind, Bikers Helping Rebuild Alabama. And on that event page, you will find the links to our PayPal. Tomorrow, you will find mailing addresses directly to the Salvation Army, as well as to the In the Wind Association. You will have contact emails. Robert Bunn will be your main contact to mail it. And we will answer any questions. We have vendor forms. Tammy Smith is in charge of all the vendors. But everything is laid out on www.facebook.com/events/160-9999-140-16493/. That was a mouthful. But everything will link to everything. If you can get to the event page, as we make progress and new vendors are added and so forth, we just constantly update. I call it back. My son's just corrected me and said it's a forward slash. I call it backslash. It's the one that goes towards your right when you're looking at it. But we really encourage everyone, if you could go to the event page, and like I said, all you have to type in is second annual In the Wind, Bikers Helping Rebuild Alabama, then share it with all your friends. And, it's like wildfire. You just constantly are sending it forward, forward, forward. And just like your blog, Bill, people see it. They pass it on, and they pass it on, and they are forward. I'm sorry, I'm trying to read what everybody's telling me while I'm talking. But it's real simple to find. And if you don't use Facebook, if you will just send an email, this is very simple, itwa@yahoo.com. We will go ahead. Any questions, we can send you the PayPal link through that. The PayPal link is real simple. It's just itwa2012@yahoo. If you just go to your PayPal, you can do donation, and then it goes straight to it like that.
So within the next day or so, you guys are going to send me all the information.
Absolutely. You know why I know we're going to do that, Bill? Because I'll be calling Ryan tomorrow and say, now how in the hell do I send him all this information? He teaches me everything I need to do. So,
Robert, my email address. Robert has my email address.
Robert's got it? Okay, then Robert can get it, and then we'll rock and roll, and we'll make sure you get everything we've got, okay? And we do want to we would love to be able to call in. You know, you'll be telling me to shut up at some point in time, but maybe at least
Never.
Once a week call in, give you some updates, and, oh, that's right, you like my sexy southern drawl. So,
there you go.
Well, exactly. He'll never turn that number down.
But we really appreciate always
just to give you
the help.
Just to give you a little humor, even though my partner's not here tonight, but he usually likes to tell people that I'm sitting here in my drawers with nothing on but a smile. So,
right.
All those lists, I'm wearing my boots and my pants today with a T-shirt.
You just ruined the image we all had of you. Why'd you go and do that?
I know. It's okay.
No, I'm going to bite my tongue.
Well,
yeah.
Well, I hope you hang around once you get done talking about your event, Nancy. I hope you can hang on the line for a little bit and hear some of the other things going on around the country.
Absolutely. I'll sit here and listen for a while, and I get up at 3:30 in the morning, so it's getting knocking on the door for my bedtime, but I'll stay up for a little bit.
Well, give,
oh,
me,
well,
your,
you know,
give me your boss's number. I'll call and give you a pink slip.
Yeah.
He may be giving me a pink slip next week. Anyway, yeah, I'm going to hang around, guys. But, you know, like,
okay.
I said,
and Sergeant Major, you're, like I said, you guys are welcome anytime, even if you don't have anything going on with this event, any other event, I'll give you guys airtime.
Yeah, thanks. And listen, we appreciate it. We really can't do it without people like you. We thank you for it.
Oh, Mark, that's, hey, Bill, one real quick funny story. We decided as a group we wanted to help out at Christmas time. So we went to our local Lucky's grocery store in Montevallo, and we worked out shift work, and every one of the members took a two-hour shift every Saturday for 6 weeks. And we were dressed in our leathers. The bikes were parked out front of the store, and we stood there with the Salvation Army red apron ringing the bell.
They did a great job, and we need more people like that. We absolutely need more people like that during our Christmas season. That's the only time that we raise money to help the general population and the community. And it's amazing. I'm telling you, these people are amazing. This group is amazing. If you can team up with this group, you guys, whoever would be blessed. These guys, anytime we call on them, they're there and they're willing and they're able. And that's something special, and we really value them, and we thank you again.
Oh, well, thank you. And if you get a handful of dollars and a woman who will shake it in front of Lowride or Kelly and say, I will give you all of this if you dance when you ring that bell, he'll dance for you too.
Wow.
Yeah, we had a couple ladies. One of them held up a couple of dollars, and she said, if you ring that bell for me, I'll give you these. And he rang the bell, and then the other lady walked in. She said, I'll give you all of this if you'll dance while you ring that bell. And there he went. He went a-dancing. So anything to help, you know, that's the name of the
game.
There
we go.
That's what it's
Nancy,
about.
Nancy, if you could send that to me, and I'll get you the information you need. And I appreciate it, guys. God bless you, and God bless you all the work that you guys have done. Thank you for just having us on and listening to us. And, guys, if just one more, you know, kind of call plead right now, if you're listening out there, and you really need to understand that these guys are just trying to help people in their community. They're trying to share the love of Christ and the love they have for their neighbors. And just want to say God bless you, good night, or good morning, or good afternoon, wherever you are in the world. Don't forget that Jesus truly does love you.
Mark, thank you so much for sharing this with us.
No problem. Thank you, and give me a call, okay?
You got it. Good night.
Thanks. Good night, guys. God bless.
Good night, Mark.
All right, Nancy, I'm going to ask you to hold on a minute, and I'm going to bring in, hello, Thomas, is that you?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Nothing. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing all right with you.
That's good. We have Kasha and Ryan on the phone.
What's up, Kasha? Thank you for doing that. Dude, how you doing, baby?
Good. How are you?
Living the dream as usual. Living the dream.
Well, good. So are you happy with it?
Am I happy with it? What are you kidding? I'm blown out of the water. I mean, you did an amazing shoot as usual. Ryan, Dude, you're the dog, man. You're amazing. So,
well, appreciate it.
What did you guys do? You know, and you made me look good. That's for sure.
Well, good. I'm glad you're happy.
For people that don't know the whole story, Kasha is the second time around in East Coast Biker, and it's been something that, you know, we had lined out with a company for quite some time, and then even after we had gone in and done all the publications and all this other kind of hyping up this business, they backed out of it. And so basically I talked to Thomas Friday, told him I'm going to bind, I need a bike shop. We shot at his shop the following morning and had all of the photos to the bike magazine by Tuesday, and the deadline was Wednesday. So talking about
stepping up to the plate. Hold on. Ryan called me up. I called all the boys up. We scrambled Friday and hoped for the best for Saturday. And Ryan and Kasha made what we had work. So, yeah, don't give any credit to me on that one. That's all your Photoshop, man.
Well, we appreciated him stepping up and doing that on short notice. It was an awesome shoot. He's got a hell of a bike shop going on. He's trying to get into doing it more full time. So,
and well, if you've got any links to your stuff, send them to Ryan. Ryan will send them to me, and I'll put you in my friends column on the blog.
That'd be cool, man. I appreciate it. Thanks.
No worries. And so, what are you building?
Well, what I do is we're doing a lot of restos. Right now, one of my projects that I got going on there is I'm doing a 50 Panhead Police Special that I'm doing a full ground-up restoration on. The one in the magazine that Tasha's on, that silver bike, that's my 96 Heritage that I just got done.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one's the 77 Shovelhead. That's one of my guys that works there. That's his baby. I'm also working on, I've never done it before, but I'm thinking about doing a theme bike, and I might just do a rat street bobber, you know, black cherry Maltese cross on it. Just something to buzz around town real loud and annoying, just, you know, to make a statement. But
yeah.
Basically, what we're doing with the shop, it's a lot different than most places, as I think the shop is more of a bunch of guys in a community kind of thing. Kasha and both Ryan, before all of this came about, they came up here. A buddy of mine that lived in North Carolina, we did a benefit poker run for him out here because he just moved down to North Carolina with his family, and the hurricane that hit last year with the flood wiped out his house.
Right.
So, I mean, the only thing I could do was figure out how to get this guy some money so he could buy some furniture.
Right.
And that's basically how I physically met Ryan and Kasha, you know, and they came up and they helped out, and it all was great. We made a lot of money and stuff like that, and that's all the guys that are from my shop. I mean, basically, it's more of a hangout community. Let's work on our bikes. Let's help each other out. We build some bikes where, you know, we're not Super Chopper Joe or anybody else like that. We just build bikes that everybody can ride, and we fix bikes. And if people can't, you know, if they can't afford to have their bikes fixed, we help them out, stuff like that. So, you know,
yeah, my partner
cool
does the same thing at his shop. Basically, he's got a big back room full of parts, and every once in a while, somebody will come in and say, hey, I need a tire, but I don't have any money, and he'll put them to work, and they straighten up the shop and clean up and stuff, and it's kind of a trade-off.
Yeah. That's exactly what we do, you know? If you don't know how to do it, if you can't afford to get an oil change on your bike, well, I'll tell you what, go get the oil. I'll show you how to do an oil change on your bike. You know,
right.
I'll show you how to do belt tension on your bike or something like that. You know, it's I've been doing this, I'm 47 years old. I've been doing this all my life. And I think it's more about the passion for being a biker than it is about the business of being a biker. And there's a lot more rewarding things going on with what I'm doing than it is, you know, just by making money.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It all works out. I mean, Bill treats his place like his sanctuary.
Yeah.
You know, we have some of the club guys come, and usually, or me, usually we get followed in by the man, and they get stopped at the door. If they're there to look at bikes, they're welcome. If they're there to cause trouble, they're not invited in.
Exactly. And there's a bunch of riders out here, a bunch of clubs out here that come over, and let me tell you something, brother. Over here in the Rocky Mountain region, you know what, man? It's been nothing but great experiences for me. You know, I've been here since 1998. I moved out here from New York. I've hung out with the best and the worst of them. And mm-hmm. out here, it's the brothers out here for sure.
Yeah. And a lot of people don't understand that. You know, sometimes you got to give respect to get respect.
Absolutely. Absolutely, and it, you know, it's not always about how much money you can make at it either, you know.
No.
And it, you know, sometimes I don't make any money at it. Who cares? The place is paid for, so we're cool.
Yeah, a lot of people don't get that. Where exactly is your shop at?
I'm up here in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. I'm a little bit farther than you are.
I'm just north of San Diego. I'm right outside Camp Pendleton.
Yeah, exactly. You pass right by me when you're going to Sturgis.
Yeah. But, people don't understand the camaraderie. You know, like we were talking, or they were talking earlier before you came on, back east. They went to go help as bikers, and they were turned away.
Why were they turned away?
Well, they were turned away because they were bikers. People see people dressed in leather or whatever.
With tattoos, long hair, short hair, it doesn't matter. They profile them. I know.
Well, you know, it's not even a fact of that. I think it's just personal attitude, you know, in general. If you're gonna be that much of an idiot, and you know, if you look at most of the bikers that are especially out here, and even the people I've been all over the country, I have never been around people that are more yes sir, no sir, yes ma'am, please and thank you.
They're very humble, very humble.
And the bikers and some of the other people, which we won't go there, being from New York, you know, or any places else where there's big metropolis.
Well, I was born and raised in Chicago, so I know where you're going with.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What was it about Chicago?
Yeah. I said I was born and raised there. The stigma is all over.
Yes, I know this.
Yeah, well, the stigma is all over the place.
Yeah, it is. But unfortunately, you know, people don't stop to realize that they are good people. It doesn't matter if they ride or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they are good people.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I mean, my friends, I love them to death from the heart. You know, I'd be lost without them. I love them to death.
Well,
they're very polite. They're respectful. You know, I mean, you couldn't ask for better friends.
And it's a very funny thing because of the fact that if you like, per se, my family and everything, and my wife is a teacher, special education teacher. My oldest daughter is an opera singer and violin virtuoso. I mean, and that, you know, if you look at the stigma on bikers, well, you know, we should all just be a bunch of criminals living in a trailer house.
Well, exactly. That's how people want to perceive it. They listen to shows too much, you know, instead of knowing people.
Right, exactly, exactly. You know, and the thing is that, you know, we're just a community. That's all. We're a different community than everybody else.
Exactly. You know, and it's not just bikers. There's, you know, people have to say something in regards to your ethnicity or your religion or whatever the case may be. People are always going to find something to speak about or put down, you know, for what? Why? You know?
Oh, that's the best part about this country is the fact that we have the right to bitch. So,
right.
You know, I mean,
I'm going to enlighten you on that one because about a couple of weeks ago, Obama decided that free speech would be a felony if they were visiting a city and the people were, you know, they call them the protesters, but there's going to be no more right to free speech.
No, because and let me tell you this, because what's going to take place here in Chicago in another week, if people aren't aware of it already, we're holding the NATO summit meeting, okay, for 2 or 3 days here in Chicago. So the protesters are going to be in full swing, but they don't realize Obama passed a law. If you go down anywhere near the area where the meetings are taking place, the protests, if you have your phone, if you have any kind of recording device, you will be arrested right on the spot. No questions asked. You're going right to jail.
Yeah, that's not going to last a week in court, really. I mean, all that's going to happen is that, you know, that's bogus. You cannot.
But unfortunately, a law passed.
You cannot pass a law like that and expect, you know, people are going to do something against that, and rightfully so. They're going to do something
right
against that to clog up the court systems.
Exactly. I mean, we're overcrowded as it is. Well, everywhere is. It's not just here, you know. And with this taking place on a weekend, we don't have weekend court anymore. They stopped it. So they won't see a judge until the next business day.
Right. Absolutely.
Here, let me enlighten you guys. I don't know if you heard me at the beginning of the show when I talked about this. But the court rules against parking ticket frisking.
What was that?
You can be frisked for parking your vehicle.
You can be frisked for parking your vehicle?
Yeah,
that's
if
correct.
You have it parked wrong.
If
you
frisk you.
For all my firearms that I have on me, because in the state of Wyoming, there's absolutely no concealment or gun laws, so have at it.
Yeah. Well, what happened was the guy pulled into the liquor store. Actually, he backed in, and when he backed in, he backed all his car was over the white line. So, looking for drug addicts, decided that he was going to go check them out, and the guy got nervous and put his hands in his pocket, as he said. So, for officer safety, he searched him and found a bag of marijuana, crack cocaine, and all kinds of other stuff. And then arrested him for that. But in the end, everything was overturned because the court decided that there was no provision when he wrote the ticket for that.
There was no provision for when he wrote the ticket for that. And bottom line of it is that if a guy puts his hands in his pocket, it's not probable cause.
Right.
Exactly.
So you cannot do a human search unless you have probable cause.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but this is what we're saying. There is a law now. If you have your vehicle parked a certain manner, then what it should be, they are saying that they have the right to search you.
Let me explain something to you.
Okay.
And this is something that's actually good about this, is the fact that enough frivolous cases come into the court.
Okay.
The district attorney will deem that officer non-credible anymore and will pull him off the streets.
That's correct.
So, let it happen. Let it happen all they want. Because if you're going to overstep your authority as a law enforcement agent, then you should be deemed non-credible.
Well, that's what we did here. We got seven guys off their motors over here just for frivolous bullshit stuff they were doing.
Right. But like I said, unfortunately, they were doing this in Maryland, you know, for the court to rule. You know, well, it's actually the rule against the parking ticket frisking. But, you know, like I said, why would it start in Maryland? You know, I mean, I don't understand that. But, you know, they got to pick a state, I guess.
That just might be a scenario that was localized, and that's what they decided to do out of their jurisdiction.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Is it right or wrong? Is it right or wrong? Well, that, you know, again, we're back to, you're going to see how wrong it is when you find out that most of the officers that are doing that are deemed incredible. So,
right.
If they don't have, you know, if they don't have any basis for it, it's going to get shot down. There's a lot of things that happen with law enforcement profiling that gets shot down.
Oh, so, I know. And, you know, the worst thing is, it was some time back, we had somebody on the show. He was just walking down the sidewalk. He wasn't doing anything and was profiled because of the way he looked. I mean, no, and don't get me wrong, I'm not laughing at it. It's just amazing the way somebody gets profiled just because how they look walking down the sidewalk. Well, wait a minute. If they're doing that, I was profiled once because my neighbors were sitting out drinking. And the officer that pulled up, you know, well, you all are drunks. Wait a minute, I don't drink. Don't profile me.
Well,
just because they are doesn't mean I do.
But the thing is about that is just the fact of it's 99.9% the actual individual that's doing that. It's not about the training. It's about the individual that's doing that. And people have a mindset. Believe me. Believe me on this one. People, there are certain ones that have a mindset that this is the way this is and this is the way this should be, and that's all there is to it. Now, there is no way that the I work with all different entities. And
okay.
The thing is that I find that you'll actually catch individuals like that where his own peers don't even want to be around them.
Right.
You know, and that's just a situation that, I mean, they're gonna do that because of they've got a chip on their shoulder about something, or they're wearing the band because they got beat up way too many times in fifth grade. You know,
and if they scored 10 more points on the exam, they'd have been.
He could have been the guy at the grocery store that didn't want to redeem your coupon, but just happened to have a badge. It's a jerk is a jerk is a jerk is a jerk.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And not all of them are. You know, not all of them are. But there's a few that are just, you know, wow.
Trust me on that one. Not all of them are. Not all of them are. And there's a bunch of them that are really cool. And you couldn't tell that when they're not at work that they even have a job like that because of their attitude.
Right.
And the thing about this is there are some of them that they go to sleep with their ticket book under their pillow. So,
I know. Like I said, I have, you know, because of personal circumstances with my family, I've had to deal with some that were just, wow. That's all I can say on that one. But then I've had other ones where, you know, it was like, no, everything's fine, you know, and where I actually put my hand on the one officer's chest and, you know, people looked at me, do you know what you just did? No? I mean, to me, I didn't know that I did anything wrong. I just, no, everything's fine. And, you know, nothing here to worry about. And I didn't realize that that is actually considered an assault. Huh, I learned something new that day. You know, nothing happened. The guy was cool.
Chicago, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Are you state of Illinois in the city of Chicago? That's it.
No, actually, yep. I'm on the southwest suburb of the Chicago outline proper, you know.
Right.
If you're familiar with our small airport, I'm not far from the small airport. I'm not actually in the Chicago thing. I'm only so many miles from the Chicago limit.
Sure. Gotcha. Well, yeah, I'm up here in Cheyenne. We got a population of about 55,000, so, you know.
I live in, it's a mile one way, a mile another way, and a half a mile the other way. So it's a small little suburb, but, you know, like I said, it's close enough. You know, it's like 8 minutes, you're in Chicago.
I hear somebody else over there. I'm just going to shut up and sit on the side.
No. Here.
You're good.
We got Kasha and Ryan and you, and I muted Nora for a minute. Don't take offense to that. I have Stacy's on the line. I'm going to come back to her, and I have Fran on the line. But I wanted to, I don't know if you listened to the beginning of the show, Thomas, but I'm going to tell you, this is how I open my show, so this is for you, man. Listen to this.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on nature for the enemy. They have the policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them.
That's how we open our show.
I like it.
That's that happens to be, you can get that off YouTube. It happens to be, his name is Mike P, the big homie.
Cool. I want to check that out. Definitely.
Okay. So,
all right, let's have other people talk. Stop talking about, stop having me talk on this thing.
Well, that's what it's about. But Ryan, so you're gonna have this big photo model thing, and Kasha's gonna be a part of that. And are you gonna have any? You gonna have Thomas there with some of the guys with some bikes, or how are you gonna do it?
Actually, we are. Thomas is coming down. He's bringing the bike that was shot in East Coast Biker. He actually told me that he's bringing a bunch of his buddies down that are gonna help out with security. So he offered to come down and help us out with that, bring some bikes, and it's going to be a great time. So got bikes coming. I've got a couple local car clubs involved. We're going to have some 1920s up to current cars, hot rods, Model A's, Model T's, stuff like that.
Have you put the flyer together yet for this?
The only flyer I've got right now is one that I actually posted on your wall.
Okay.
That is a shot of Kasha in front of a 69 Camaro. And then she went in there and airbrushed herself out of it and wrote, basically what the event is and all of that. We're not really announcing where it's going to be yet because I don't want a bunch of people showing up that aren't supposed to be there. So we're pretty much directing people to contact me, send me your information, and a week before the show, you know, I'll send out the address. And then Thomas and his boys will make sure that only people getting in are people that are on the list. And it'll be an exclusive event that way. It's going to kick ass. We've got a lot of people involved in it right now, and it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, okay, I can't wait for it. Ryan has really been busting his ass on this whole thing, so I know it's going to be a success.
Okay. And you guys are going to keep me in the loop on everything, right?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay. Let me, what I'm going to do is, did you get a hold of Fran?
No, I never did. The last thing I heard from Fran was getting off the air last week, and she said, I think I scared him, and their air went dead.
Well, you could Hello to her right now.
So, Fran, get a hold of me on Facebook. Are you on Facebook?
Am I on Facebook? Yes, I do have a I have several Facebook accounts.
All righty. Well, whichever one's the dirtiest, send me that link, and we'll get hooked up.
Which one is dirtiest? And I don't reject anyone for whatever reason.
Look, look, I know, Fran. Don't be careful what you ask for.
Yeah. Oh, she's a wonderful lady.
Now, you had mentioned coming down. Would love to have you if that's something you're up for. Let me know. We'll figure something out.
I'm up for it. The only problem is that my schedule and work and so forth is not going to permit me to make it that day.
Okay.
And so I'm just going to have to put that one on the back burner until the next time you do something.
Hey, not a problem. We're hoping, with the response I'm getting with this one, we're hoping to do another one in October. So, you know, maybe more warning next time, be able to get you down here for it.
And we also have Stacy on the line.
Oh, I'm just sitting and listening to the fun. I was on the road when I was listening to you guys earlier, and I kind of got cut off and had to settle in here at the home front. But I just wanted to say, how do you do? You know,
yeah, our friends have been screwing with us all night.
Really, lovely.
Yeah, my phone's been weird.
I caught the section where a lady Nancy was organizing stuff down in Alabama, and
right.
Salvation Army picked up their group to distribute funds to the people in the community from the tornado disasters. And what was really heartbreaking was to hear that they were turned away by other groups. And, you know, when disaster hits a community, the community needs to pull together as one, no matter whether you're a biker or a priest, Joe Schmo on the corner, or an executive attorney, you know.
Right.
And it's sad that during a most crucial time where families had been misplaced, that this group of people was turned away strictly from what I heard on the basis of their bikers. And, you know, people need to wake up and realize that bikers are not going away. We're not animals. We're not beasts. We're not, you know, what they think we are. And, you know, the past couple of weeks when I've called in, it's continuous stigma against, you know, who we are, and it bothers me. That's my bitch fest for this week.
Well, yeah, I mean, it does, because like you stated, and anyone else, you know, in one day, we had 51 tornadoes in this state. Most of them were devastating, other ones were not. You know, and the unfortunate thing is, you know, seeing people, they're trying to pull together as a community, and they're getting snapped. That's not right, and I agree. Because, you know what, you have to come together. Where else do you go?
Exactly, and the thing is that not only that, the economy is bad, everybody's like kind of like saving that last $5 in their pocket for whatever reason. And, you know, if you exclude people, you're excluding funds for the well-being of your people that live in this country. And,
exactly.
You know,
it doesn't matter what type of person, people, anyone, it does not matter. The point being, people are coming together to help a community. That's the big picture right there. And that's what people need to focus on more, instead of, oh, should I do something? Or maybe I'll think about doing this, and they don't.
Something? It still starts with, like, the media, et cetera, the you know, stories just blown way up out of proportion. And,
exactly.
You know, it's really coming down to the media needs to be, you know, put in their place. And
right.
I'm not big on these paparazzis that stalk people, but I'm also not big on, you know, straight up slander that some of these people print about the biker community. And
I know it's hideous. I'm sorry. You know, some of our best friends are what they are, and you know what? They're wonderful people. Period.
Yep. Where do you live?
Where do I live? I live right directly on the state line of Rhode Island and Massachusetts.
Okay, so all right, I'm from Huntington Station, Long Island. Okay.
Okay.
So you
yeah.
know, you grew up when you grew up, the neighborhood was a neighborhood, and it got
exactly.
up if something happened to somebody in the neighborhood. The
and everybody
had
yeah.
mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, yeah absolutely.
I went through the same thing.
Out the way. People
it,
don't
it,
see it that way anymore.
No,
everybody
no,
has a mind that.
No, we had a conversation, and it boils down to this, what I feel. You know, this is my opinion. It's not anybody else's opinion. It's that the society we are raising is, you know, I say the word ignorant, but take it lightly, because there's no more structure. There's no more discipline. There's no more teaching your children how to help the community, how to help your fellow neighbor, et cetera. People aren't raising their children the way my generation, I'm 43, you know, was raised, and older people were raised. And this is why we've got this big mess on our hands, because people choose not to open up their eyes. They choose to believe everything that's printed in a newspaper or plastered out on the internet or the damn TV. You know, and it's sad. It's sad, and it's also scary because, you know, you think of it, if dark times ever came, you know, how would we group together as a community as a whole if we can't even accept the friend relation of a certain group of individuals, the biker community? You know, you won't take them their helping hand when, you know, a disaster happens. What happens on the larger level? And those are the things that really extremely bother me. And
well,
they should be things that people should be thinking about.
When you remember when Hurricane Gloria hit the East Coast?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay. Well, when it beat up Long Island, I remember that. How many years ago? I was a teenager, I guess.
Yeah.
And when that hit, everybody in the community got together. We all grabbed chainsaws. We grabbed coolers full of ice and whatever we could do for everybody else. And we cut trees off of houses, and we made sure everybody was safe in the neighborhood. And
yeah, we.
It's not like that anymore. You're absolutely right. Everybody's about mind your own business. Don't look at the neighbor's house. So what? Somebody's
exactly.
breaking into it. Don't call the cops.
Yeah.
You
and
know,
I mean,
you know,
bringing up Hurricane Gloria is a really good example for me, because we had a tree come crashing down through the side of our house and destroy our pool and level our backyard. And when that thing dropped, the neighbors in the tiny neighborhood that, you know, I lived in, everybody was over here helping, you know, get the limbs off the house and everything else. And that was in the middle of the storm, you know.
Absolutely.
So, and people,
but you did take care of your neighbor. That's
yep,
all
exactly.
there was to it.
But see, that's
you know?
How
and,
we
and,
know.
And
we
care about that.
Right,
yeah.
But that's how we knew life how to be back then. You know, we helped our neighbors out. Everybody came together in the towns that we were in. And you're right. Nobody does it anymore. But I'm
now
so
there's like, it's almost like a, what's the best word to describe it? It's almost like a paranoia. If you help your neighbor, oh, they're going to feel
that. Oh, my God,
that,
what's going to happen?
I owe, or, you know, now they're going to feel like, you know, they owe me or I owe them. Or but you never think
not
of
even
just.
The fact that, God forbid, oh, don't go on my property, because
yeah.
if you get hurt, you'll sue me attitude. And,
yeah.
and we've you know, the funny thing about that whole thing of bringing it back to the biker community is the biker community is exactly what that was, except we're on two wheels.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
We care about each other. We help each other. And there's no repercussion. There is just
exactly.
no, there's nothing about anything except, hey, let me help you out, brother. Let me help you out, sister. And that's all there is to it.
Yeah, because, see, the thought level in the biker community, well, I would say in the majority of some, is, you know, you operate on respect, loyalty,
right.
honor, integration. You know, it's part of your belief. It's part of who you are, what you do. And nowadays, you know, you can get somebody that graduated a PhD straight out of Harvard University, and they're the cockiest, arrogant person that wouldn't, you know what I'm saying? And it's wrong. It's wrong.
You're exactly right. And the thing about it is that it isn't about, you know, back in the day when we were kids and you did something wrong and your neighbor dragged you by your ear over to your parents and says, hey, he did this and he did that. Today, you sue that guy because he assaulted your kid.
Yeah.
Now, it's that the morals and the respect are totally gone. But then again, we're considered a subculture because we don't live by their rules.
Right.
Maybe they should live by our rules a little bit more, and then they'll understand, you know,
about
respect morals.
Well, you know, the thing that bothers me is because I'm still that way of what I was as a kid, seeing how the neighborhood came together, okay? So there's people that look at me like, what is wrong with you? I'm like, what do you mean what's wrong with me? Well, you just don't help people like that. And I said, yes, you do.
Yes, you
do. Sorry. I mean, where I live, my house is on the main street that goes through town, okay? And one day, a 16-year-old kid, she couldn't have been 17, she ran out of gas right off, you know, on the street right off from my driveway. And, you know, she went to go get out of her car, and I said, stop right there. Stop. I got to cancel my gas can. Let me give you some gas, at least get you up the street to the gas station, you know. And she's like, thank you so much. I said, no, stay in your car. I don't want to see anything happen to you. And God forbid, I hope that this ever happened to one of my kids, somebody would be decent enough to do this, you know, because you don't want to see a child run out of gas and be stranded. You can't
worry about the people that are doing that, too.
Exactly, you know, and I sat there, I said, look, I'm not a weirdo, I'm a mom, you know, I mean, I don't want to see a kid stuck out here, you know, for some idiot to pull over and, oh, I'll give you a hand, and then next thing you know, something happens, and I was right there, you know, I couldn't do that,
and you know what gets me, Nora, is, okay, out of the kindness of your heart, you did that for a citizen. And it was a good deed done because, you know,
right.
You basically were taught or self-taught that, you know, you helped somebody else. And
exactly.
It burnt a bun in my oven, or so to say, I'm being nice with the real terminology I want to use, is would be very, very bad. Right.
But you can say anything you want here, dear.
Yeah, I'm going to try to be respectful
a little bit.
I
bit your ass. Okay.
Yeah. Was when that biker group that was trying to raise money for them victims was turned away by a church. You know, the church teaches you to open your door to all your brothers, all your sisters, whether they're poor, rich, homeless, whatever, and they're going to turn away a group of people that wanted to donate their time, volunteer their goods, et cetera. And it
protection.
Oh,
that's
say that
all
again?
It is public perception. That's
mm-hmm.
all it is. How everybody perceives you, because God forbid if you bring those dirty bikers into your community, they're
yep.
going to destroy everything. Again,
yep.
back to public perception. You know what? You remember back in the day when you always heard that word, what will the neighbors think? You know,
yeah,
I'm
know.
With the neighbors. You know, yeah, there are very few of my neighbors that I like because they annoy the hell out of me, and I'm a biker. So you can imagine what they do to me, you know.
Right.
But the point is with this is, you know, you do what you do in life because it makes you feel good about yourself.
Absolutely.
Regardless of what color shirt you wear. If you wear a dress,
religion, whatever, it doesn't matter.
If you wear a do-rag, hey, you know what? You know what? Bottom line of it is this. Nobody judges you but the judge. Bottom
yeah.
line.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, Bill and I have been approached over the years.
And I'm not getting all holier than now, but, I mean, Dad is the only one that judges us when it's our time. You know, the thing is, we do the best we can as human beings to people, for people, you know.
Nora, speaking of heaven and hell, it goes with something I had stated today.
I know. I
heaven
remember.
Heaven and hell,
like
I got friends
laughing.
In both places.
I know. It made me laugh.
If I can jump in.
Sure.
Hi, Fran.
Hey. When you people are talking about neighborhood,
right.
Hey,
a friend of mine from the old neighborhood, her name is Jill, and she's actually texting me on Skype as I'm talking, and she's been telling back with me back in the day, and she just said, I'm enjoying the show, I love the Huntington plug, so Jill, I know you're listening, so... There you go, hon. Thank you, guys.
when we're talking about neighborhoods, okay, I'm 61 years old. Neighborhoods back then, we have a 40-year-old person on the line, to some puppies that are on the line. If you go back 50 years ago, a neighborhood was a group of people that socialized with each other. They raised their kids together. They even knew the relatives when they came by.
Exactly, yep. The families. Right.
Okay, now...
That was what I grew up...
Okay, but now we go back, let's say, 30 years. 30 years, people didn't start staying in the same job forever.
Right.
So now... Instead of staying in the neighborhood, people moved out of the neighborhood because they got more money or better jobs,
uh-huh.
or transferred.
Yep.
But they did not take with them the camaraderie of a neighborhood. You get to the point now where we are today. I'm lucky to even know my damn neighbors.
Yeah. Right.
And I actually happen to know them, and that's only because they don't have a fucking choice.
Right.
But the problem comes in.
I'm sorry.
You're comparing time sequence that is so different now.
Right.
That you can't compare them anymore.
No,
New York to here. I couldn't understand how back in New York I had friendships. I had friends.
Right.
I moved out here. I couldn't make any friends. And I kept trying to figure out what is the big difference. San Diego is a group of transients. There is no people that stay here for more than 5 years.
Why?
Let alone in a neighborhood for 5 years.
Well, I got news for you, Fran. I've been here for 5. Maybe I'm the exception.
Well, that's after when we got thrown out of this thing.
I think you're the exception to every rule, Phil.
Fran is stating, you know, a definite fact because I live in the neighborhood I grew up in, and there's like 20 houses on this little cul-de-sac, and I think 5 out of the 20 houses have the original neighbors that I grew up with. All the new neighbors, I couldn't tell you their names, nothing.
Right.
And, I mean, when I was a kid, I knew everybody by Mr. and Mrs. such and such. And exactly right. I knew the family.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's my friend's grandparents. Or that's my friend's aunt and uncle. You know, it's the truth. And
you nailed it right. It was Mr. and Mrs.
Yeah.
It wasn't their first name. Hi, John or Joe or Mary. It was Mr. and Mrs. Had respect for them. And that was instilled by your parents.
Yep.
That wasn't instilled by your neighborhood. And you know what the thing about it is that I live here in a town of 50,000 coming from, I don't know, there were 50,000 on my block in New York. And living here in Cheyenne, Wyoming, I know all my neighbors, and you know, some of them, you know, what are you going to do? They're your neighbors.
Right.
You can't burn their house down and you can't make a move. But
right.
The other ones, you know, they're great people, and we all look out for each other. And this is, I kid you not, this is like moving back into 1975 in my old neighborhood in New York, closer to Wade. You know, we all look out for each other. We've had block
right.
parties.
Yeah.
Nobody ever heard of block party until I moved into this neighborhood. You know?
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's a great thing, though. I mean, you got to create a community, and you got to
right.
create a safe community. You know? Wow, how this always revolves around bikers. I don't know.
For me, I'm lucky. And the reason I'm lucky, everybody
line.
In my neighborhood knows that I ride a bike.
Right.
I'm one of the lucky ones here.
I ride a bike, too, just because I wake them up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go to work.
2:30.
Nah, 5 o'clock in the morning, it's nice to wake them up with a bored out 30 over with street sweeper pipes on with no baffles.
That's when you're a thunderheader. But, and what I like to do is I'd like to invite all you guys back. We're getting down to the last part. I'm going to take us out with a little Everlast. It's called What It's Like. And I appreciate everybody calling in. Thomas, make sure I get that stuff in the mail, please. Ryan, send me the flyer when you get it done.
Okay, Ryan, make sure you come to Chicago.
I will sure try. You bet, sweetie.
And I'll call in for my weekly bitch fest.
Yes.
Right on.
There you go.
We miss you, Stacy.
Yeah, it's all one big happy family here. Thank you, guys.
Good night, all.
Good night,
everybody.
Peace.